Welcome to Beating Around the Bush, a podcast produced by the Rural Business Collective.
Hi, I'm here with Jane Robertson from Millwoods. Jane is on a small farm just 40 kilometres outside of Wagga Wagga and is developing a range of leather kids' shoes. All of this while also having her third baby and having no business experience whatsoever beforehand. However, she's making it look really easy, so I'm looking forward to delving into this story. Thanks for joining me, Jane.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start from the top. The idea, I guess, is where it all starts. Where did this idea come from? What did you see?
So I have a two-year-old and a four-year-old. My son, who's the four-year-old, James in particular, has a really difficult foot to fit in that he's got a really thin, narrow foot. So we would go shopping endlessly. The awful process of trying to buy your children shoes in terms of tantrums, no, I'm not putting that on, and the difficulties that comes with it. And I got to the point where, you know, you were buying these shoes that were relatively quite expensive, but the child either, they wouldn't be moving properly, or they'd sound like a clown when they're running around them, or they were uncomfortable and difficult to keep on. They couldn't put on themselves. So I just sort of started thinking about what I wanted to wear and what I enjoyed wearing. And it's sort of just like, well, I live in driving moccasins. I have several pairs of them. And I was just watching my husband in his pair the other day, and I was like, well, why not? So I went to try and find some, and I couldn't. So that's when it sort of started to unravel, and we just like, well, this isn't really something that you can buy, particularly in regional markets. So we just sort of started down the track of how do we do this? So, several designs later, we are about to launch with our first range of driving moccasins and also a ballet flat for little girls. So the driving moccasins are really unisex. But yeah, we're sort of at our first point now. We've got our first range about to be launched.
It's amazing. I love it. So the idea was there. You saw that there was something that you couldn't find, and you knew, talking to your friends, and that there was something that a lot of people would be looking for. So it sounds simple enough, right? You just get some shoes made and sell them. Piece of cake. Okay. So we've discovered since then, since this idea to now, it's about 18 months. That it's not quite that easy. Tell me about, where did you start? What did you, you know, how's that process gone?
To be honest with you, I started on Google. How to make shoes. What do I need to know about shoes? Is there terminology that they're going to talk to me about that I actually have no idea about? And then I think pretty quickly when you get onto Google, like everything in terms of manufacturing anything, Alibaba, it just becomes what throws up in your face left, right and centre. And I just was like, I don't trust it. So I started to talk to anybody who I knew about who manufactured anything. And then I actually had given up. And for some strange reason, my cousins are about 30 years older than I am. And for some strange reason, I went, oh, my God, he might be able to help me. Yeah. So I rang Ro one day and I went, Ro, any chance that you or any of your friends know anyone who has an agent in China or Europe who has anything to do with leather apparel? Doesn't necessarily have to be shoes, but just leather apparel. So he came back with literally an email address, and I sent off this blind email to this quite random-looking email, actually, and Katie responded. And as it works out, she's phenomenal. She's got the most amazing work history with top Australian brands, and we have been able to forge our way forward into this these beautiful little kids' shoes.
That's right.
So thank God for Katie. So tell people that haven't had any experience and haven't done the Google searches that you've done, what is the role of an agent, and what does that agent role provide you that you couldn't do?
Yep, okay. So Katie effectively is the link between me and the factory, and I have chosen China in this instance. So Katie, my little business venture, she sources leather, she sources sole, she sources stitching, she sources the quality of the stitch, the colours. We do stamping, we do packaging, we do the lot, so that by the time those shoes land on my doorstep, they are a beautiful little branded package that are ready to walk out the door. Due to language issues, cultural issues, those sorts of things, Katie is the one that actually works through all of that for me. Now, she's been doing this for well over 15, 20 years, so she has that ability to be able to know how to navigate it. in terms of all that language barriers and actually sort of customs. Yeah, the process and how to work through that. So Katie, being my agent, I actually don't even need to go to China. Probably I actually haven't been there. But she's like the photos, the videos. She FaceTimes me constantly. We spend a huge amount of on Skype. So you actually don't even feel like that she lives in, well, Katie actually lives in Hong Kong. She's an Australian girl that lives in Hong Kong. So there's that, from my point of view, there's a lot of actual security in terms of understanding that we are actually talking the exact same language and we understand each other beautifully. Yeah. And then she does the back work with the factory and the manufacturing for me.
Yeah. Fantastic. So that's invaluable. And so early on, you've been building this team around you about bringing in those expertise and those skills that you need. Yeah. So you've got your agent. And what else happens in that process? So I'm imagining there's runs of samples and iterations and things like that.
Yeah. So we're up to sample number 4 or 5. Some major design changes have happened along the way. So as we're moving through, I've been able to build relationships with a podiatry clinic locally, in particular one podiatrist in particular who's been really, really happy to help me out. So we have been looking at fixation points on the foot, blistering, some of the intricacies of children's feet and where things need to move, where they need to be sort of more solid to ensure that the child is actually able to move their foot but their muscles are allowed to develop properly. So we've been working really closely together to ensure that we're hitting all those markers so that when these kids put their shoes on, they're not just a shoe that, you know, looks pretty, that they're actually a shoe that's not only good quality but they're really good for their feet, to ensure that the kids actually want to keep the shoes on, because that's one of the hardest things as a parent. If kid doesn't want to keep his shoes on, they're not going to keep them on. So look, we've been working really closely with podiatrists there, and then in terms of looking at the flip side of that to protect myself, I've been working really closely with an intellectual property lawyer to ensure that as we're moving through this that we actually own all our trademarks and all our intellectual property, because that's sort of, you can't actually trademark a shoe because a shoe is a shoe. So there are certain elements that we have had to do to ensure that a Millwood shoe is what it is and that nobody can copy that, so that we're tying all those sorts of elements up so that effectively Millwood as a brand is quite secure, and that effectively one day if I want to sell it that I've got it all packaged up and we can work together.
Are you following Rural Business Collective online? Stay in the loop on all the latest tips and tricks for running a rural business by following us on Facebook. Or for more information on membership, visit the website at ruralbusinesscollective.com.au.
So being your intention right from the get-go in terms of the IP stuff, because a lot of the time that's things people think of as they get down the track, was that intentional?
It actually was really intentional. Because there, in my hunt to find a shoe for James, there was only one other brand that I could find and they were actually going out of business. And in terms of to protect myself and to make sure that I wasn't actually copying somebody, that I was making enough changes for us to own our own designs, it has been really intentional. Also with the realisation and the realistically looking forward, is that this is not something that's going to be my life forever. You know, I've got 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and another one due literally in a few weeks. And I do think of the reality moving forward. It's like I would like to get 10 years, 15 years out of this business, but then I will be well past children's shoes and I'll be hitting adolescent stage and those sorts of things, and then it will become the reality. What is the market that we're in? And somebody else may be able to do it better than me, and that's in terms of the realistic, like how long you're in business for and what your business is. So it is ensuring, I suppose, that at any point that if I need to put this on the market and the business needs to go, that we have something that is saleable.
You're right. This is a really wonderful way to look at a living example. You know, a lot of the time you talk to people 3 years down the track and some of this stuff, whether it's selective or not, they forget some parts of it. But this is a real living example. And so you've done the importing from China. You've done a few iterations, as you said. you know, what's the next phase, the next focus? You've got that product looking, you're pretty happy with how it's going to come through. What's the next thing that you need to focus your attention on?
So this is literally going to be getting this product to market and launching. I'm probably, as we speak, 4 to 6 weeks off putting an order in, which means that hopefully I'll actually have product hitting just before December, probably November, December. And then from that stage, it's about actually these shoes need to be out the door. Because when you're actually selling a physical product, holding onto stock is costing you money. So it's about now putting those strategies into place to moving this stock out the door. So given that I am actually pregnant and that I'm about to hit some pretty tough personal times as well as launching a business, I've employed the help of a business consultant, and David is going to work really closely with me in terms of our strategy and how we're moving forward. So effectively to the point where when I actually have this baby and I actually need to switch off and focus on this little child, David is going to be essentially my virtual CEO. So he's really experienced in the world of wholesaling and retailing. So he's going to step in and sort of control that process for me. I'm still going to be aware of what's going on, but in terms of the actual day-to-day operations, it's not something that I am needing to be or have to be physically involved in, and you know, for those first few weeks when you've got the newborn, getting them up and running.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, to do that, you'd have to have a lot of systems and processes in place, I suppose. So has that been something you've been quite intentional with as well? How have you gone about making sure you can actually, because it sounds good to step out for 12 weeks when a new baby comes along, but often it's hard to step away. What sort of things have you had to do to make sure you can do that?
Well, we're actually still working it out. You know, I'm due in 9 weeks, and to be honest with you, this is evolving every single day. There are so many elements that keep me awake at night, not just insomnia, but there are lots of elements that I sit there and, you know, the notebook's going all night because it's just a huge investment for my husband and I. But I, it's just one of those things where my gut is just telling me to, it is the right thing for us to do, so where that's why we're seeing it through. Yeah, so everything that we work through, I'm having really open conversations with people. Some people are like, oh, you know, you've got these business ideas, you need to really keep them to yourself and not tell people. But I have found the entire way along the process that by talking through things with people and asking questions of people, that all of a sudden the right people are falling in my lap, and they have been really successful relationships that I've built to the point where I have, I would say, high-quality people coming to me. And we've got things happening and the steps that are going that I'm really confident in, that we've got the best things are being implemented in terms of processes, products, the whole lot. We're doing things to the top quality, really.
Yeah, that's great. I like that you are so open with your business and sharing and really understanding that there's plenty out there for everybody.
Yeah.
'Cause that's something that in country towns or in small businesses, it's not something that we're, it's a new thing to get used to. I don't think it's a normal part of the culture.
No, and the thing is that I suppose I've come across a lot of people, the fear, but aren't you worried that you just found another competitor that only launched like 2 months ago? And I'm like, so what? Yeah. I've got a lot of faith in our product. I have a huge amount of faith in our quality, and quality is one of the major, major things that I'm standing behind our product selection. Because as a parent, the last thing you want is poor quality. When you pay money for something, you want it to last and you want it to be really good quality. I actually take it and go, you know what, there is something for everybody, and there are so many people in the world. And even though we're starting in regional Australia and my focus is actually on making these shoes available to regional areas, there's a piece for everybody, and just start small and think big, because it will actually go. And talk to people all the time. Like, I've been met up with a guy in town who's got a $41 million business. And I didn't even know it existed in town. He's in Wagga and he has a $41 million business. Yeah. He brings 40 shipping containers a month into Australia. And I didn't even know it existed, but he's been so helpful just by literally being given a phone number, pick up that phone, make the phone call.
Great, and just going and asking for help. Yeah. Talking about getting these products out to market now, what are some of the things that you're thinking about in terms of getting that to market? Where do you start looking at people to places for these shoes to be discovered?
Yeah, so it's a really, really good question. So there's a few ways that we're looking at doing it. Predominantly, we'll have an online store. So there's all, you know, online, like majority of people these days. There's a lot of talk that has to go on in terms of finding mums groups, relevant chat boards, effectively, whether that's whichever social platform you're choosing to go with. And then there's going to be a bit of old school going to markets and those sorts of things. But we're really actually looking, because we're sort of focusing on regional Australia, there is going to be a little bit of me throwing the babies in the car and off we go. Because we're regional Australia. It doesn't mean that we don't want our kids to look good. It doesn't mean that we don't want these types of products. It just means that our access to it is limited. So I'm going to be spending quite a lot of time on the road actually sort of ducking out to, for instance, Hay. I've got a girlfriend at Hay. She's going to invite all her friends for me, and that's going to be it. So from there, you know, it might be okay. There, Jess, have a party per se. We sell X amount of shoes through your party, you know, and you get every five pairs. Well, I'm not saying that, I haven't done the cost model on that one yet. You know, and that you get a free pair of shoes for hosting it. So we're trying to get them out. Then the word of mouth is out. Because one of the things as a parent is you can do all this online shopping, but sometimes you really want things to be malleable. You want to test them. You want to look at them. You want to try them on. So one of the other things that we're looking at in terms of our online store is having printable inner soles, so that you actually print that inner sole at 100% on your printer and your child stands on it, as opposed to drawing your child's foot and measuring it, because the margin of error can sometimes be 6 millimetres when you're looking at sort of different lasts of a shoe. So you literally print the size that it is and you get your child to stand on it so that you can actually see that. Because one of the other things is I have various issues with buying shoes online for my kids, and you print the thing out and you put your child on it, and then like you order the size 29 and it comes back and you're like, my child's foot was not a size 29. So it's ensuring that that actual inner sole is there with no growth room in it, so that you're actually matching the right size to the size of your child's foot, and then you can make the judgment call from there.
So fascinating. I'm loving hearing this whole process as you're going through, and it sounds like you've got a really strong focus on the quality. I'm really looking forward to seeing a pair of these shoes. And then I suppose finally is, how are you going? You've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home, and one that's just about to arrive. How do you find the time? Are you quite disciplined with what's work time and family time? Or you just jam it in any cavity of time you can find? How do you work the juggle out?
I am very fortunate in that my husband, he works full-time, but he works a rotating roster over 7 days. So Andrew will either be home at midday or he leaves at midday, and he might not be home till 9 o'clock at night. So he either starts in 5 in the morning, and anyway. So we do have snippets of time. Predominantly, though, I start work at 8:30 at night and I go through to about 10. I can't work much later than 10. So I literally have this ridiculous notebook that goes all the time, and then I cram things into hour and a half lots. And if I can during the day, if there is one of those lovely moments where you get those children both asleep, which I had on the weekend, actually had 2.5 hours, and it's amazing what you can actually achieve when you have time constraints and you pump it out the door. Yeah, so I don't have this plan. I don't have, you know, everybody locked in for times. It's literally fly by the seat of our pants. And I know when my pressure points are hitting, and that's when it's like, Andrew, okay, I just need 2 hours, or I need an hour. You need to take the kids away so that I can concentrate, so that I'm actually sounding coherent. Or there have been days, though, where I actually have to sit in the car and I have to drive up the road, because for sometimes we actually don't have phone service. So I will sit in the car probably about 200 metres from the house, and I had to turn the car around at times and make sure the children are okay, because like I'll have a conference call and Andrew wouldn't be home, and you have to make sure that A, that you've got the bars of service so that you can hear the phone call, but B, you can see your children. And it's, yeah, it is a constant juggling act, but it's real. And I suppose at the end of the day, doing this is all about making sure I'm actually around for my kids. If I need to do something at school, or, you know, like so many mums out there, we get to school holidays and Christmas school holidays. We've all got annual leave, but what do you do for 6 weeks? Yeah. You need to be there. And I didn't have kids so that someone else could raise them. Yep. So although this is going to be a hell of a lot more work, it does buy me the flexibility that if I need to be there at 3 o'clock to pick my children up, or that you're around to do it.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, look, Jane, thank you so much for sharing the story with us. I'm really looking forward to seeing a little pair of Millwoods running around in not too long a time, really. I'll make sure that we announce on our Facebook page when they are around. How can people follow you and keep in touch with the story of when they're getting close to launch?
Yeah, so we have a website, just millwoods.com.au. That's millwoods.com.au. We've also got Millwoods Shoes on a Facebook page and on Instagram as well.
Fantastic. Excellent, Jade. Thank you so much for sharing.
Really appreciated being here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Beating Around the Bush. If you've enjoyed the content, sign up for more in iTunes or your favourite podcast app. For more information, visit the website at ruralbusinesscollective.com.au and join the tribe of small business owners and entrepreneurs making a difference in the bush.